Ben Crenshaw, the legend, and after an incredible PGA Tour career, a couple of green jackets to boot, he and Bill Kaur have become the dynamic duo of course design. Ben, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, John. You're very nice to say those things. John, I can tell you one thing. I've been very, very fortunate in my career, playing career, but you know, all the while, when I was a teenager, I started to get fascinated with golf course architecture, and I knew that someday I wanted to pursue it, and I certainly knew also that I had to pursue it with another person. And I tell you what's ironic is that my wife and I, Julie, have been married 27 years, and that's Bill Kaur and I formed our partnership in the same year. So I've been with Bill for 27 years as well.
Ben, but, who do you have more fights with?
I can just tell you it's a godsend working with Bill. It's been one of the joys of my life. We've worked on projects that we've been incredibly blessed with. We've had some great situations, and the Pinehurst job was something of a great honor to both of us, but I think probably it's even more of an honor to Bill because he grew up in Thomasville, North Carolina, which is 40 miles from Pinehurst, and he went to Wake Forest. He graduated there, and he played on the Wake Forest team, so he played a lot of golf at Pinehurst when he was growing up.
Well, I actually played it this week, and I had played it shortly before it was renovated, before you guys came and brought it back to the tradition that it is today. And in the year and a half since I played it for the first time, all of the natural area has started to grow in, and the way that it frames the golf course, I think is totally unique to North Carolina and something that you really only see on links golf courses.
Well, John, you know, Pinehurst, of course, the village is, they have probably done the best of any golf course development town in the way of archives. They, you know, the Tufts Library is a public library where anybody can go in and see really what happened to the resort from the turn of the century, 1900. And they have such extensive plans, aerials, writings, you know, from Ross and the Tufts family that it's quite extensive. So we spent a lot of time there. It also goes into, you know, Dale Ross was such a pioneer in golf for us in America, having been from Scotland. But I know that when Dale Ross arrived in the Sandhills of North Carolina, he saw a certain kinship there, and he, you know, made his life's work and started there and then built all the courses. And obviously, number two was a great pet project for him. And it's hard to believe that they didn't have grass greens until 1936. And that was right before the big PGA championship that they had, I think in 37, 38. But he found that he could do things there in the sandy soil that he couldn't do elsewhere. But they had such great people writing about it, and we took a blend of what people wrote about and what we saw in those plans. And there's no question, John, that the great medium there is sand. And it was exposed sand in many, many decades. The golf course, the skeleton plan and all the features are there. It's the same course. It's just a different presentation. So, yes, it's a throwback to yesteryear, but it was fascinating, and it was a great, great honor to do.
Were there nervous moments for you and Bill looking at it saying, there's nothing like this? The U.S. Open's coming here, and we're taking out acres and acres and acres of grass.
What were those conversations? Before we started, we knew what we had certainly a notion to do, and we both, we thought about it for a little while and said, if we're going to tackle this, it's going to look different. It's going to look so different in its present form, like John, when you played it, and when a lot of us played it, and it had basically gotten grassed in, basically wall to wall, tree line to tree line, and with the USGA having two opens there, subsequently the lines of the fairway became very straight and sort of stylized, which to our mind did not represent the course, or the course that stood for many decades. And it's probably one of the great strategic golf courses in the world, in that you want to pick a side of the fairway to play on to open up certain avenues of flagstick locations and this and that. Done very beautifully across that pretty landscape. And we just saw a very straight situation, basically, with the quarters, the fairways, and then so much grass. And we decided to take a lot of it out. And Charles Price was one of America's greatest writers, and he lived in Pinehurst many, many years, and he kept talking way early on is that the fairways at Pinehurst are oases encased in this beautiful sand and sandy terrain. And it just kept going through our heads, and I think, John, if memory collects, doesn't fail me, it was about 450 irrigation heads that we took out because it was irrigated wall to wall. So that's the reason why they had so much grass. What that did, John, was sort of the grass out there from tee to green and all the roughs had sort of become this monotone color, so that didn't throw any dimensions out and didn't throw any angles out. And the fairway bunkers were out there, and the features were there, and the mounds were there, but there was no color contrast. So hopefully we've illuminated not only the borders of play, but the angles and places where you can readily see where you're trying to hit.
This isn't the first place that you guys have use this concept. Dormy Club is fantastic. Although I haven't been to Stream Song, I've seen the pictures, and I'm dying to get down there, hopefully, on the swing through Florida with the PGA Tour. This is a concept that you guys have embraced.
Well, I tell you one thing, John. I think anybody in the building industry would love to work in sand. And when you have sand, you're blessed with so many things you could do. First of all, it's easier to move material. If you're going to move it, it drains so much easier. You can break the surface of the ground and go down a little bit. You don't have to worry about drainage. And also the sort of native grasses that grow, in the sand, they don't proliferate so quickly either. So it's a color contrast. But you know, the game was really born on sandy soil. The game really began in the British Isles on land that people thought that you couldn't use for agriculture purposes. That's why it became common land and land for recreation. It has a kinship to that. But there's no question. We're very happy whenever we see that sand, naturally.
Ben, you are at a point in your life, and you've had the kind of career that it would seem to be okay to slow down at this point, but it seems like you and Bill are busier than you've ever been in your lives.
Well, John, we're very lucky to have a few projects, you know, for our workers to concentrate on. We've been very fortunate that way. But John, you're so right. I am slowing down in golf, and I may play a dozen tournaments this year, but no question, my game is not. I wish that I could put more time on it, but I've got no excuses. I've played a lot of golf on the senior tour. I haven't played that well. I've had my chances, but I cannot say that I have. You know, people say, well, you haven't played enough. Well, I have. I know this, that there's a lot of guys who are playing so much better, and they really devote themselves to it, and it's great to see. The quality of golf is astounding. You know, no matter where they play, they shoot great scores. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They're very consistent. And they're just a lot sharper, but I'm very, very happy to be slowing down. I've got a wonderful wife and three great girls, and I'm going to certainly pursue architecture the rest of my life.
Well, and I wanted to ask you this. Clearly, the career that you've had, fantastic. It got you into the Hall of Fame. But in 30 years, in 50 years, in 100 years, the golf courses you're building now will be enjoyed by future generations. And in some ways, even though you accomplished what you accomplished on the golf course, that's going to be the legacy that you leave behind, Ben.
Well, we sure hope that people enjoy our golf courses. You know, when you really boil it down, John, when you build a golf course or you present something, it's very nice, you know, to hear nice things and compliments, but you want them to come back and play. You want return customers. You want people to come back and enjoy it, and that's the bottom line. You want people to enjoy your work, and that, you know, golf courses are so vitally important to our game. They're a huge. It's an integral part of our game that doesn't change. The places where we play are what bring people out, you know, in one or two groups and whatnot, and bring them back. And that's why you do them.
Well, it's fun to see what you've been able to accomplish. When you start looking at a piece of property, when you start looking at maybe a golf course you're going to renovate like number two, or a fresh piece of property like at Stream Song, are there architecture features that you use as reference points from Donald Ross, Alistair McKenzie, Tillinghast? Is there a group of architects out there that you use as a constant reference for yourself?
Yes, John, and they have all been passed away a long time ago. I am certainly not saying that. I've talked to Jack Nicklaus, who I think has done a fabulous job in his career, and Arnold Palmer, and Greg Norman and all these people who pursue it, they do some beautiful, beautiful things. There's no question that Bill and I are, we're traditionalists. There's no question. And I've been lucky enough, and, you know, John, you've been lucky enough as a player to see some of these places. And you,
right.
What you do is you remember certain situations and how architects treated a situation, treated a hillside, or treated, a creek, or certain bunkers, and you remember, all of those things, and there's certain situations that resemble what you've seen, but you've got to make what you have on a ready piece of ground work in the network of the puzzle that's tried to be worked on the ground. And I just it's fascinating to go back through the history of the game and see which courses sort of linger in people's memory. There's golf courses where you would certainly say, yes, it's a real test, but it has to stimulate you, architecturally, and from an artistic side as well.
Yeah, it's incredible. I'm a big fan of the traditional architects. From the golf courses that we were all raised on. I'm curious, Ben, if you had to pick a few of your favorites from days gone by or today, what are some of your favorite golf courses?
Well, certainly the architects, the three that are just always right at the top are Donald Ross and A.W. Tillinghast and Dr. McKenzie. They left us with some unbelievable pieces of art. And I also love Charlie McDonald, who was really a great pioneer in American golf, having been educated at the University of St. Andrews, and he was introduced to the game there, and came back to America and really wanted to elevate the status of American golf at the time. It really was pretty rudimentary right around the turn of the century. And, he devoted his attention to the National Golf Links, which is right next to Shinnecock Hills, which is just a stupendous piece of work. And certainly, if you look right next door to Shinnecock, that's a William Flynn course, who he was from Philadelphia, and he left us with some marvelous golf courses. He was tremendous. And another whom I particularly love is Seth Rayner, who was Charlie McDonald's protege. He did some 60 or 70 golf courses, and I've never played a Seth Rayner course that I didn't just thoroughly enjoy. And over in the British Isles, I don't think there was anybody better than Harry Colt. Harry Colt was, when people go see Sunningdale for the first time, their jaw drops. It's just one of the gems over there. And it's an inland course. You know, it's not a links course. He was brilliant. Another guy over there was Tom Simpson, who just was marvelous. But they left us with a lot of books and written words that to Bill Coor and I are the guidelines. You always kind of remember what it's an education process, and I've always found it fascinating to go back and read those books.
Ben, it sounds like you're having a heck of a good time.
Well, I am, John. I've really been fortunate in my life, and I've been fortunate to win some tournaments. Good Lord, the two Masters wins were just out of this world. I had a wonderful upbringing. Opposite, right next to Tom Kite, and who's still one of the hardest workers I've ever seen. He still gets out there and practices so hard, it's unbelievable at this age. He's 63. But we had the finest teachers ever at Hobby Pink. We couldn't have turned out too bad. That's what I like to see.
No, I think you guys turned out just fine. I want to ask you before I let you go. This year, the U.S. Opens at Marion. Obviously, next year back at Pinehurst. These are golf courses that the modern game could have certainly turned obsolete, and yet they're still shining jewels in golf architecture. What does that mean to you to see the Open go back to Marion and to come back to Pinehurst?
Oh, I'm going to be really interested. As everybody else will, to tune in to Marion this year. I think that I certainly know that they have put a lot of teeth in it, meaning that they lengthened the long holes there at Marion. There's plenty of length in the holes that they're going to play. depends on the weather. Excuse me, quite a bit, but I think it'll stand right up. I really do. And Pinehurst is going to be a different test. Obviously the rough is not going to be USGA prototypical. And John, you've seen it. If there's going to be situations where if you hit it out in the rough and sand, you could have a pretty nice lie and play sort of a hard pan shot, and an element of recovery is certainly going to exist. But then there's enough of those little dwarf plants out there that you can get behind, and so it's a little more like pot luck. Somebody, a ball 2 feet apart, one might be playable, one might be just a hack out. So That'll be interesting, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Oh, I completely agree with that. It's I tell you what, Ben, it's been fun to get to spend some time with you. I'm such a fan. I've always been a fan, but now I'm a fan of your work, and it is shining here at Pinehurst, and it's just tremendous stuff.
Well, John, you're really nice to say that. We've known each other for a long time, and I can tell you that I know you've had all the people there at Pinehurst. They were just a joy to work with, and to let us have that opportunity, it was quite an honor.
When will we see you again? When will you tee it up again?
I'm going to play in Newport Beach at the Toshiba tournament. That's a nice little golf course, mm-hmm. Fun to play, fascinating, I think. That will be in 2.5 weeks, I believe.
Well, go out there and have some fun. Go out there and might as well go win a golf tournament.
Yeah, I'd like to hit some good shots, John. I've hit so many bad shots in the last couple of years. It's been unbelievable.
Well, I promise you, you're better than most. You're certainly better than I am these days. But you know what? I don't think that either one of our passions are directly aligned with our own games these days.
Well, you do a great job, John, and we're lucky to have them. So let's enjoy it. I'll look forward to seeing you down the road. Okay.
Absolutely. You're too kind. Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, John.